Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. It was brought to you by our good friends down the hall, Unchained. Unchained is here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your custody. They have their 2 or 3 multi-sig vault, which is collaborative custody. You hold 2 keys, they hold 1. You eliminate single points of failure by distributing your keys and their backups geographically. You can lose three of the 4 devices and still get access to your Bitcoin. Unchained is always there as a collaborative custody partner to be the second in the 2 or 3 multi-sig transaction if you need them to sign on your behalf. And their whole company revolves around this 2 or 3 multi-sig setup. They have an IRA that you can roll over into, or you can start a Bitcoin IRA with Unchained. So if you're out there, you're looking at the ETFs, you're like, should I buy the Bitcoin ETF? No. You should hold your own Bitcoin in your IRA. Unchained makes it very easy. So if you're thinking about rolling your IRA into Bitcoin, hit up Unchained. Go to unchained.com/consultation. Talk to their team. You'll be able to roll it over, own actual Bitcoin, not Bitcoin IOUs, and then hold your own keys. It's a 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum. You hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. It's a beautiful thing. All right, go to unchained.com/consultation. Tell them that Rabbit Hole Recap sent you and get set up today. This report was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite is here building the best hardware in the space. I got this little block clock showing Moscow time right now behind me. It's 1929 in Moscow. It's an inside joke. 1929 sats per cuckbuck. They also make the best Bitcoin wallets, hardware wallets on the market, signing devices. MVK likes to call them signing devices. That's what they are. You got the Mark IV, the MK4, which is the best on the market to date. In this episode, we actually previewed the Q as well, MK4. It's NFC enabled. You create your private public key pairs offline. You can add entropy to your private keys with the roll of dice. It's got an SD card. You do everything offline. You don't touch the internet, so you keep your private keys secure. The Q1 has all the same internal guts as the MK4, but it's got a full keyboard. It's got a QR scanner. It's got a battery pack. It's going to come with a bunch of really cool features. You're going to be able to save your passwords there. You're going to be able to create PSBTs. It's NFC enabled as well. They're building the best hardware out there. Go to coinkite.com. Check it out. Get a block clock. Get a Q1. Get an MK4. Get some SATs cards, some tap signers. It's really sci-fi technology. It's really approachable. Coinkite.com. Try RHR. Try CD, try TFTC. Still don't know if we have a code. Enjoy this rip. Ticky.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
None. I pay them to drink them.
Okay.
What's it called? Stoke. Cold pressed juice here in Austin. They're at the farmer's market. They're at local pastures. And they make good drinks, okay? This is the Phoenix. Lemon, orange, alkaline water, honey, activated charcoal, bentonite clay, and Himalayan salt. Matt thinks I'm getting scammed, but my body would say otherwise. It's very good for the stomach microbiome.
Just drinking charcoal.
Activated charcoal. It's good for you.
It's I know about it in like toothpaste and shit, but like you're like actually consuming it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stomach feels great. I have one of these a week.
You can let us know how it goes.
I am letting you know how I've been doing this for months now. It's great.
right before we went live, Logan turned to him and was like, what the hell is in that bottle? And then what's in that glass?
Coffee.
And what?
Half and half.
Ooh. How many sugars?
No sugars. That's
very fiat. Nice. Very nice.
I stopped drinking sugar in my coffee in college. Or putting sugar in my coffee and then drinking it. Ooh, the central banks are running. Better go catch them. Is that what we went with? We did. Central bank runs continue.
Yeah, we didn't say you have to catch them. You don't try and catch a bank while it's running. It's usually a bad idea.
And for those who are unaware, yesterday the U.S. opened up an FX swap line with the Bank of Japan in an effort to prevent them from selling their U.S. treasuries to defend the yen. So it looks like we have a bailout of the central banks playing out in real time. Not the first time it's happened. I think it happened in the European credit crisis in the early 2010s.
What does that mean? Does that mean, are they giving us treasuries and we're giving them other IOUs, or?
I think it's a straight cash liquidation, homie, where the yen's running away from where they want it to. It's going higher than they want it to. And the only way they had to defend that is to sell treasuries to get dollars to buy yen to bring it back down. And instead of selling treasuries, we're just giving them cash.
So we're buying the treasuries.
We're buying the yen, essentially. We're giving them the cash.
But they're still selling the treasuries. They're just selling them to us.
I don't think so. I don't think that's the way it is. Maybe. They might be.
Is a swap happening, or is that just a misnomer?
Let me see.
Does it just mean we just give them money and we don't get any? Is the worst swap in the world? We don't get anything swapped back? How does that work? I don't know. I don't pretend to know. Presumably, we're not buying yen for them. We give them dollars and then they buy the yen with the dollars. When I said we give them another IOU, I meant dollars. One IOU for another IOU.
We're bailing out Japan, essentially.
But is anything being swapped?
Yeah, we've opened up a swap line and flooded them with dollars.
So that means they give us treasuries and we give them dollars.
I don't think so. I think we're just giving them dollars and saying, hey.
Do they have to give us the dollars back?
At some point in the future, I'm sure there's.
So we're lending them dollars.
I imagine so. The Fed's getting yen. It's a currency swap. It's a swap line.
They give us yen and we give them dollars.
Yes.
And then we hold on to the yen, presumably, because if we just immediately sold it, it would defeat the whole purpose, right?
Yes.
Nice.
All in an effort to make sure that they don't dump their $1.2 trillion in treasuries. It's a beautiful thing. Not really. So why are we Bitcoin? Central banks can't control their currency. Bitcoin is programmatic monetary policy playing out in real time.
Bitcoin's the lifeboat. Now, we could have named the episode that.
Yeah. I'll try to make you think otherwise. Don't let them. Speaking of Bitcoin, let's check out the state of the network at Clark Moody's dashboard. The price of Bitcoin is 62,110 cuckbucks. One cuckbuck is going to get you 1,610 sats. Currently at a $1.22 trillion market cap, we are at block height 842,736, which means we had a difficulty adjustment earlier today. That was a downwards adjustment of 5.6%. Blocks were coming in at 10 minutes and 37 seconds on average. We are only 48 blocks into this difficulty epoch. So this data is not reliable. Block's been coming in at 8 minutes and 53 seconds on average since the difficulty adjusted earlier today. And as of right now, again, not reliable. It looks like we'll have an upward adjustment of 14.4%. There are currently 55,149 transactions in Clark's teeny weeny mempool. If we go over to mempool.space, we'll see that they have 188,200.
I don't understand why he doesn't increase the size of his mempool.
301, it's expensive, you know? Pay for all that.
It's really not that expensive.
You got to pay for all that storage cost. 188,333 transactions in mempool's mempool right now. Fee market pretty low. 15 sats per byte will get you
straight
into the next block. Headed into the weekend.
First they tell you mempool's low is clear, then they tell you 15 sats per byte is low. Next they tell you 150 sats per byte is low.
I think we're going to clear this weekend.
heading into a sleepy weekend. It's Mother's Day here in the United States.
Difficulty down.
Everybody's going to be with their moms and their wives.
When you see a big difficulty adjustment down, usually it does mean blocks will come in faster.
Yeah. That is the state of the network. Ooh, what a week. We did change the title of this right before. I insisted on central bank runs continue. But you wanted to make it open source all the things.
I had open source everything.
Open source everything.
I felt like a good vibe. I don't know. We make a lot of titles here. We came together on the title. It was a joint decision. It was a mutual decision. Yes.
Logan, I like this angle better. The light's not reflecting on.
Personally, I would name every episode Bank Runs Continue, but Marty won't let me. So when you proposed a derivation of that, I happily went along.
Open source all the things. A way to do that is to get money in the hands of the open source developers building out open source software. And we had a good headline event happen in regards to that this week. OpenSats received an additional $21 million in funding from the Start Small initiative headed by Jack Dorsey. Big announcement.
Massive thanks to Jack. He's putting the world on his shoulders with all this open source support. And we couldn't do what we do at OpenSats without him. This follows on last year's $10 million donation to OpenSats. Both donations came with no strings attached. He's never asked of us to do anything. And if he did, we would reject his funding. But I'm incredibly grateful. I think a couple key things here. First of all, the way we're splitting it up is the way Jack's splitting it up is $1 million to the operations fund, $15 million to our general fund, and $5 million to our Noster fund. The reason the operation fund exists is because we do not take a cut of any donations to the general fund or the Noster fund, but we currently have over 120 grants outstanding. And part of the way we're able to do that is because Gigi is paid a full-time salary and he has a few part-time staff. So that comes out of the operations budget. None of the board besides Gigi gets paid anything. Like I said, it's isolated to Gigi, a couple part-time staff, lawyers, accountants, that kind of thing. Hopefully the $1 million will last us, you know, over 3 years. We'll see in this current regulatory environment, legal bills might get higher, unfortunately. But all funds are held in Bitcoin. So if Bitcoin does its thing, it should last longer. And if Bitcoin does its other thing it tends to do, which is dump, it will last less long. So we're completely exposed to the Bitcoin volatility, but our grantees aren't. They have their choice, but most of grants are denominated in dollars and paid out in Bitcoin. The second thing I would say is, some people think this is a response to the current regulatory environment. Now, these things take a long time to process and come together. This has been months in the making. Hopefully we see substantial actual responses to the current regulatory environment. But I would say this is productive in all regulatory environments. And I think one thing this current environment has shown us is I think it's a little bit overplayed saying it's a war against self-custody. I think most self-custody Bitcoin users should be fine, at least in the near term, unless things get worse. I think it's a horrible regulatory environment for founders, specifically founders that don't want to KYC, ID all of their users. And so what we're seeing is regulated Bitcoin businesses that have, you know, all money, tons of money licenses and stuff like that, pretty much unfazed, non-monetized open source software, pretty much unfazed. But any founder that's trying to monetize in an ethical way, without taking custody and do it in the ethical way, is feeling a lot of pressure and liability right now. So I would say that no strings attached open source grants for people building open source tools that might not be able to easily monetize in the near term, because it's difficult, one. And second of all, in the regulatory environment, it can be a massive liability to them, become even more important. So huge shout out to Jack. And then the last thing I would say, I know I said two things. It's important for us at OpenSats to operate as transparently as possible. And we're not doing that in a vacuum. Like, we live in the real world and there are trade-offs to everything. But I do think we operate more transparently than 99% of nonprofits around the world. I think we operate more ethically, more efficiently than 99% of nonprofits in the world. Most nonprofits take massive salaries for board members. They're not transparent at all about operation costs, about donations, stuff like that. So it's incredibly important for us that we announce this donation. But I would say that there's a tendency with this type of thing to see it and be like, oh, Jack solved it. You know, open source funding is solved. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Jack handled it. George Bush on the aircraft carrier, mission accomplished. You know, everyone move along. We're good to go. And that is very much not the case. Right now, Jack is taking on the burden of a substantial amount of open source funding across multiple entities, including Spiral and Brink, us. And first of all, we, you know, that's a central point of failure. You shouldn't rely on a single individual. And then second of all, the way 501c3s work, public 501c3 nonprofits, is they can't have one large single donor. There's like a, after 5 years, there's a test. And if you only have one large single donor, you could lose your public charity status. Which is why OpenSats and others have gone through great lengths, put a lot of time and a lot of energy in trying to diversify the donation base. So if you're out there and you're a CEO of a Bitcoin business, or you're just a Bitcoiner that has a large tax bill or just wants to help out and support, please consider donating to OpenSats or any other one of these organizations that support open source contributors. It really does go a long way. I will say that we're grateful at OpenSats to have over 2,000 individual donators. It's just like, from an amount point of view, it's substantially less than $21 million. But anyway, that $21 million has been stacked. It's in our multi-sig treasury. 100% of the $20 million will go to open source contributors. The grants will continue to flow until freedom improves. And last but not least, this is just a long-ass rant. Last but not least, I know we don't do things perfectly. We're working on it. We're trying to improve over time. Part of the reason why the operations budget, that operation donation is so huge, is if we had more part-time people, we can provide better feedback to grant recipients. And then we had over 600 grants over the last 18 months that were applied for, and then over 100 were approved. So there's a lot of review, a lot of feedback that needs to be done, a lot of communications. It takes a village. So thank you. And thanks, Jack. And thanks everyone else who supports OpenSats.
Yeah, that's not enough. We demand perfection. We demand perfection. How dare OpenSats not be perfect? You did mention something during that long monologue that did stoke an idea of something that we don't have in the list but probably should talk about, which is the fact that a lot of the KYC businesses that have money transmitter licenses and are operating above board don't have much to worry about, but those companies providing non-custodial services to others are in this weird gray area, and it provides an opportunity to highlight the dangers of KYC, AML collecting a lot of user information and data in insecure databases that have notoriously been hacked, the data taken and then sold on the dark market. Earlier this week, a couple days ago, Junseth from Junseth's World released a podcast. Some investigative journalists, where he caught a social engineering hacker in the process of trying to socially engineer Junseth into parting way with his Bitcoin on a particular exchange. And I think this was an extremely enlightening 35-minute conversation between Junseth and this hacker that I highly recommend all of you go listen to at some point, because it will give you a glimpse into the world of these social engineering hackers, their tactics, and what they will do to try to get you to either change the password on your Gmail account or your email account so they can get access to your exchange account so they can be drained, or even attempt to get you to put your seed phrase into a browser so that they can drain your wallets and the Bitcoin that you hold in cold storage. And these social engineering hackers are able to do this because they get access to this KYC data via the black market. This guy admitted to buying a list, I believe, of 800,000 individuals from Russian hackers on the dark web. And then they're simply taking that information and calling and emailing the people on those lists to see who they can scam out of their Bitcoin. And also wrote a newsletter about it last night. How to avoid this. Don't answer calls from unknown numbers.
If you do, release it on your podcast.
Yes. Don't do that. Turn off.
It was a fun listen. He was fucking with them and having a good time. Yeah. Junseth was.
Turn off your cloud backups for 2FA if you're using Google Authenticator or Authy. Sometimes, or I think out of the box, they'll back it up to your Gmail account. And the hackers, if they get access to your Gmail account, will be able to access your 2FA codes there as well. So turn off cloud backups. Store it locally on your device.
No, I mean, use two-factor.
Use two-factor, but turn off the cloud backup.
I think usually they attack the lowest hanging fruit. If someone calls you, do not give them access to your email account. Do not give them access to anything. No real company is going to call you to do anything. Enable two-factor on all accounts. That's not SMS-based two-factor, just in case you get SIM swapped, because that doesn't even require a call if you get SIM swapped. That just requires like some corrupt T-Mobile employee or AT&T employee or something like that. Make sure you back up your codes. And I would say that a potentially insecure cloud backup is still better than not backing up your two-factor. Because if you lose the two-factor, you're going to have, you're going to have a lot of trouble accessing your accounts. And a lot of people have had a lot of pain doing that. And I don't think... Yeah, I really like Aegis. Someone's recommending Aegis. Aegis is great, and you can just do local encrypted backups on that. I don't think it's that easy. I don't know. I've never used Google Cloud Backup, but I don't think it's that easy to get access to that two-factor. And then for people on like Apple or whatever, like, I don't know, like you should treat your Apple account as like one of your most secure possessions, because it has access to so much of your life. And I guess same with your Gmail accounts. But then last but not least, if you self-custody Bitcoin, unless you send them the Bitcoin or give them your seed words, which you shouldn't do, don't reply to an email that asks for your seed words. You should be at least protected on that front.
You will never have to put your seed phrase into anything unless you are recovering a wallet that you lost access to, whether it's a software wallet or a hardware wallet. The only time you should ever need to touch your seed phrase is in those cases. If anybody ever prompts you to input your seed phrase, they are trying to steal your Bitcoin.
Yeah. But yeah, Marty's right. I mean, like all this information collection that's required of licensed businesses just puts tons of users at risk, doesn't actually stop the fraud they pretend to protect against. Criminals just use bot or something.
Anything that enables it.
Yeah, there's this whole industry, essentially. That's one of the things Junseth exposed in the call. Is like he was asking about it, and he was explaining how easy the money is. They just go for the lowest hanging fruit. Like a lot of times older people, people that are not savvy, which is a shame and it fucking sucks. But it is what it is.
Yeah, and as the lower hanging fruit runs dry and they pick all the fruit on the lower branches, they will go up the scales. So that's another thing I wrote in the newsletter last night. And we've talked about this throughout the years with the emergence of AI tools, particularly voice generation and video generation. These attacks will probably get more elaborate and realistic in the future. And so that's one thing I think everybody should do is get together with your family, your close family, and create social protocols to verify that if somebody's in distress, you actually know that it's them and not some hacker using AI voice generation to pretend it's them. Because that is already beginning to pop up, not particularly in Bitcoin. I wouldn't be surprised if it's happening in Bitcoin already, but I've heard multiple stories of people getting called by social engineering hackers that use AI voice generation to pretend that they have a family member in distress that needs money right away, wired to a particular bank account so that they can be set free, and it's all fake. So a way to avoid that is to create social protocols, whether it's a secret phrase or word that a family member would need to utter while on the phone. And if they really are under distress, you should have that set up. And if a hacker's trying to get you and you say, hey, what's our code phrase for this particular situation, and they can't articulate that phrase, then you're most likely getting scammed. It'd be a weird world out there.
Or use like 2 points of verification. If someone calls you, like, call them from a different number or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that was also, yeah, these companies, you're not special. These companies are going to reach out to you individually. If something has happened critically to a company you do business with in the Bitcoin space, it's likely that they'll send a mass message out to everybody. And if somebody calls you individually, you should out of band, either direct message them on Twitter or email somebody you know at the company. Try to get in contact with them. But at the very least, understand that you're not special. Never put your seed phrase in anything. Never change your password when prompted. These guys are doing a lot of volume too. Millions of dollars. Seems like that kid was flexing a little bit as well. Logan, I see you're interacting with the YouTube chat. I don't appreciate it.
I have to look at it. It's right here on the stream interface.
He's doing a service for us. Thanks for taking one for the team. If you want to join the real chat and you're in the YouTube chat right now, it's rhr.tv/stream.
Yes. Back to the list. We're talking about open source grants for open source software developers. That's not the only thing you can open source. You can open source business plans too. And that is exactly what Block did last week when they announced that they're going to begin a new dollar cost average strategy for their treasury. And they're going to invest 10% of Bitcoin profits. So 10% of the profits that are derived from their Bitcoin products into Bitcoin each month for the rest of 2024. They announced this during their quarterly call with investors last week, and they have open sourced their implementation of this dollar cost average strategy. So if you're a corporation trying to figure out how to stack Bitcoin on your corporate treasury, Block has done the hard work of putting the, what's the word I'm looking for?
The suit version of Stay Humble Stack Sats.
Putting the materials together to show you how to do it.
You take like 500 employees at a publicly traded company and they have to translate Stay Humble Stack Sats, and like, this is the document you get.
Bunch of bar charts, numbers crunching. So beware. And that's the other thing. A lot of people are talking about ETF.
Good to see. I think this is the way every business is going, which is, if you want to run a successful business, your number one goal should be to accumulate as much Bitcoin as possible, as quickly as possible. And this is a very conservative way of achieving that goal.
Yeah. And it's a bigger trend. We've had, obviously, MicroStrategy and Block, for that matter, have been doing it for a while. This is a new direction for Block, particularly historically. They've bought Bitcoin in lump sums, I believe, twice before.
Well, you know why, right?
Because FASB.
Well, first of all, it takes the emotion out of it, right? This is why Stamble Stacks out's important. But more importantly, they just launched the ability, I think we covered on RHR, they just launched the ability for Square merchants to automatically dollar cost average a portion of their revenue. So it's like they launched it as a tool for small businesses that use their platform, and then they practice what they preach and do the same thing, which is kind of cool how it was launched in tandem.
It's always important. People are talking the talk, but can they walk the walk? It looks like Block is looking to walk here. Some would say run. But I think this is a bigger trend that's beginning to develop this year. Again, I mentioned MicroStrategy has been doing it. Block's been doing it. Tesla put some Bitcoin on their treasury. We announced the coal mining company. I think Allied Resources is their name. They came out with their recent public filing and said, yeah, we've been stacking Bitcoin since 2020. Obviously, we've mentioned the fact that Tether has been buying Bitcoin quarterly with their excess profits. And a lot of people are focused on the ETFs being a demand driver for Bitcoin. Don't sleep on businesses waking up to the strategy as well and being another demand driver for Bitcoin. And it's cool to see Block doing this too, because they mention it in the documents that they released with this announcement. I mean, they built their own cold storage as well. So not only do they practice what they preach by buying Bitcoin, but they're also securing it themselves, which is good to see. I hope that's a trend
that develops as well. And I think they open sourced that as well.
Yeah. What's it called? It's called,
no idea. That was a while ago. That was years ago.
It's called like not deep freeze. What's it called? Something freeze. Somebody will find it. But yeah. And it's good to see companies like Block and Fidelity recognizing that you can build your own in-house custody solutions to actually hold your own Bitcoin. I hope that's a trend. I hope people are running businesses, getting into Bitcoin, don't just hold it at Coinbase or another exchange. You can hold it yourself. It's the beauty of Bitcoin. It's right today. Pull it back up. You didn't see it. Big Zapper.
Oh, I didn't
Big
see
Dapper.
It.
Big Dapper. Big Zapper.
I was distracted.
Staying on the Block family of businesses, Spiral renews grants to Bitcoin Xavier and Matt Morehouse. Some more grants.
Love to see it.
The grant for Bitcoin Xavier is for BDK enhancements and adding support for multiple platforms and frameworks, and for making Lightning integration easier and more streamlined using LDK node for multiple platforms and frameworks. It's good to see.
I just want to reiterate that open source software and open source protocols and supporting open source contributors is more important than ever, because it's inherently not controlled by any individual. Open source software, open protocols, they're viral in nature. They outlive us all. And they're incredibly hard to stop. So it's imperative that we support our open source ecosystem as much as possible.
Yes. Yes. On that note, I mean, it's important that we have these open source tools so that people can leverage and not have to depend on trusted third parties, because as we've seen over the last month, the regulatory environment as it pertains to Bitcoin is getting a bit frothy, a bit more adversarial. And it seems that a collateral damage from last month's announcements from the Department of Justice and other alphabet soup agencies within the United States is leading people to shut down their businesses. Lightning Business Mash, which we have been leveraging at TFTC on our website, announced that they will be temporarily shutting down and reorienting their strategy. I don't think they explicitly say it's because of what happened at the DOJ, but I think everybody's making assumptions that most likely was driven by the chilling effect. I was a big fan of Mash. I'm a big fan of Mash. I think the tools that they're building are extremely useful and made very easy for me and TFTC to receive donations in a fun way. Sad to see. Shout out to Jared and the team at Mash. I know this was not an easy decision, but I think they...
I know you're close with them. Are they... Are they planning on coming back, or?
I believe so, yes. I mean, it says it in the tweet as well. They are.
Yeah. Okay.
In their original tweet, that is. Yeah, they're shutting down the current version of MASH.
Got it.
They plan to be back soon after a reinvention of what they're building. Yeah, and I guess this is a talk business on air. I mean, it's forcing us. Like, I'd still like to receive Bitcoin donations on TFTC, so we're working with Austin at Pleb Lab to build some self-custodial options that allow us to receive Bitcoin on the site. So forcing function is get the centralized third parties out of the way, and now I'm going to leverage open source software to receive Bitcoin. There you go.
That is the way.
Yeah. It was working too. We got like a million sat donation a few days before they were forced to shut down. Agoradesk / local Monero P2P exchange is going to shut down on November 7th. Agoradesk is a no KYC peer-to-peer Bitcoin trading platform. It's been around for almost seven years. And they're shutting down due to a combination of internal and external factors. They've made the difficult decision to close their platform. They're extremely thankful for the love and support they've received over the years, and they couldn't have done it without all of you. They love you. The winding down process begins today and finishes 6 months from now. So that was announced on May 7th, 2 days ago. So be aware, if you are a user of Agoradesk, you have 6 months to make sure everything's in order with what you're doing on that platform.
I mean, one interesting piece of context there is they're kind of the successor of local Bitcoins, which still exists. But once local Bitcoins added KYC, a bunch of the volume moved over to them. It's interesting that they're not adding KYC. They're just closing down, which some might say is the more principled move.
Oh. All right. We've got software updates, so we'll get to the fun part of the show, which is Boost, top four Boost from Rabbit Hole Recap, 303, Code of Speech, number one Boost, at NatGas Immersion, boosted 100,000 sats. If you think penmanship is bad, check your horsemanship. Marty, don't get hoodwinked at the stables. English is fiat AF. Ride Western. SHSS. Thank you.
Great advice.
My horsemanship, I will admit, hand up, a man of honor, man of integrity. I don't know if I have any horsemanship. I've been on a horse once in Costa Rica. And those are powerful animals. When you get on a horse, riding on the saddle, you recognize the power of the horse. Horsepower is real.
That's one of those things that if you don't do it at a young age, it's got to be scary as fuck getting on as like an adult.
Yeah, I was like 20.
How old were you? Yeah.
I was like 20.
I was like, when I first started riding horses, I was like 5 or 6. I'm like not particularly like great.
Are you a horseman?
I wouldn't go that far, but I've ridden horses my whole life. And I will say like, even someone with experience, like as you got older, you're like, holy shit. Like I was an insane 8-year-old. Like the fucking thing is huge, super powerful. And it could get bad really quickly.
Yeah. Very strong animals. I love horses. Not much of a horseman myself, though.
It's amazing how fearless we are as children. Yeah.
At Eric99, boosted 50,000 sats. Stay humble, stack sats.
Let's fucking go. Great advice.
At Letter 6173 boosted 5,000 sats, no message. And at Vake boosted 5,000 sats.
Did he write no message or was there no message?
There was no message. Blank.
Missed opportunity.
Vake boosted 5,000 sats. Stay humble, stack sats, all caps.
Great advice. And you know he meant it because it's in caps.
Yeah, which SHSS was better? Eric99?
Did we have three of four? It was 3 of 4, right? It was just no message was the only one without it.
Yeah.
And he implied it.
It was an implied stay humble stack sets.
So humble, no characters.
I mean, he's really trivial, living true to the phrase there. Staying humble. Back to the list.
Like on the MASH stuff, like I think that it's not going to be a company that solves it. I'm not trying to kick a horse when they're down. It sucks to see any business, you know, have issues. But I mean, it seems like if we can't solve that problem with Nostr and Bitcoin, like what the fuck are we even building? Like that should be like an open source for the commons, like super easy thing for people to integrate, is just monetizing content and just being able to send freedom money around the world. Like if we can't crack that nut without a centralized platform in the middle, like just go home. Like what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
And we're close. It comes back to a UX thing.
We solved it before we used MASH. I mean, we solved it with BTC Pay servers. It's like the UX wasn't good. I didn't have the time or resources to invest in
the UX. But the UX is close on with the Nostr stuff. I mean, look at Zapstream, right? Like Kieran, first of all, like right now, like Kieran is running Zapstream for us, but he wants to protocolize it to a degree. Like anyone can run a Zapstream instance relatively easily. But regardless, like he's not taking custody of funds. He's using two open standards. He's using Nostr and he's using Lightning. And the Lightning's improving, hopefully, on the Bolt 12 front as we see more Bolt 12 support increase. And so it'll make it easier to implement Lightning. And then Nostr is just improving at breakneck speed. And that comes down to on the client side. But I mean, I think that's where it gets solved.
Yeah, and you don't have this on the list, but while we're speaking about Bolt 12, Jack Ballers from Strike announced earlier this week that they're playing around with Bolt 12 and LDK. They're able to pay Bolt 12 invoices from Strike, receiving not there just yet, but exciting nonetheless. Shout out to Steve Lee at Moneyball. Thanks for your help supporting us in the industry on this. So Bolt 12.
Yeah, I mean, from like paying is more important from a ecosystem point of view. Because one of the things that we've noticed throughout the years is if you are accepting donations, you want as little friction as possible. And so you don't want to have to tell who's donating what wallet to use. And a large portion of American Bitcoiners default to Strike as their payment wallet. So if that breaks when they're trying to donate to you or pay you, you're going to get less money. So that side, I think, is incredibly important. And it's great to see them so early on that. But yeah, I mean, and the other thing besides like that, it should just be like the most obvious use case for open source Bitcoin. And that Nostr is like very mission focused on making, and is very complimentary on this use case. It's like, it's one of those things too, that it's like a monetized centralized party is going to have trouble competing with the free and open source alternative just from a margins speed to market point of view. Yeah. And also margins. It's like, if I can use the open source alternative that is easy to use and I don't have to pay a percentage of my revenue to a third party, then people are going to choose that one.
Yeah. You can self-custody. Fidelity does it. Block does it. We're going to be doing it again at TFTC. And it is crazy. Like we had a sit-down suite to go over the mechanics of re-implementing self-custodial donation options for TFTC compared to when we initially implemented BTC Pay Server back in 2019. Things have gotten way easier, way better.
Significantly better. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, back to the list. Software updates. LibSecP256K1, which is the cryptography library that Bitcoin leverages, version 0.5.0 has been released with faster key generation and signing. This is good optimization for ECDSA signatures within LibSecP256K1. Mouthful there. Big update from ColdCard, EMK4. Version 5.3.0 and Q version 1.2.0 Q have been released. with a shared code base. Excuse me. So if you're running Cold Card MK4 or the Cold Card Q, you now have
lots of updates on this one.
New firmware. I've got to update my firmware on this thing right here. But it's a big release. Add Nunchuck and Zeus options to export wallet. You can view identity shows. View identity shows temporary seed active at the top. I'm going to read the release notes like I always say I won't. What else is in here?
Read them all, Marty.
You know what? Just for old time's sake, we will. Can specify start index for address explorer, export, and browsing. You can allow unlimited index for BIP 85 derivations. Must be enabled first in danger zone. The passphrase menu item is no longer offered in BIP 39 passphrase already in use. Use Restore Master with ability to keep or purge current passphrase. Wallet settings removed the ability to add passphrase to master seed if active temporary seed. You can wipe LFS during lockdown seed and destroy seed. Do not allow non-ASCII or ASCII non-printable characters in multi-sig wallet name. Very important. Brick me option for if wrong pin caused yikes. Properly handle and finalize framing error response in USB protocol. You can handle zero secret exception for BIP 39 passphrase calculation when on temporary seed without master secret. Saving passphrase on SD card caused a freeze that required a reboot. So they fixed that. Properly verify signed armored message with reg test address. You can create ownership file when generating addresses, export CSV, recovery SD card image building moved into its own repo, github.com/coldcard/recovery-images. And I'm not going to read the rest of that. But I saw that Rodolfo put out a...
You're only halfway there.
I'm not going to... I don't have it in me. I saw that Rodolfo put out a job posting for a technical writer, and I think I may know why.
Yeah, I think you can tell who wrote those release notes.
I see you in the Zap.stream. Everybody can go to sleep now.
A big one that I think was in this release is changing the menu, how the menu for new seed generation happens. So if you want to use dice rolls, you got to go to the advanced menu, which I think was a prudent move.
We love prudence here. Okay. I need to read the queue. Show notes, I'm getting heckled in the Zap.stream. What's new? Q-specific. Allow export of multi-sig XPubs via BBQR. Import multi-sig via QR/BBQR. Both legacy cold card export and descriptor supported. UI status bar text is sharper now. Added the ability to write sign PSBT/transactions to lower BSD slot when both cards are inserted. Full screen display of V23 and V24 QRs were too dense and hard to read. Battery idle timeout also considers last progress bar update. Allow send password, keystrokes of capital letters of alphabet. Pressing SIM plus shift was toggling caps continuously, now toggles only once. Restrict keys that can be pressed during seed entry after final word insert. Now that you're all asleep, I'll just lightly whisper sweet nothings. I hope you're having good dreams now. You've got that software update in your mind. Firmwares are now combined. I already announced that MBK. Combined code base. Keep up. Moving on. Geyser version 0.8.0 has been released with on-chain to Lightning donation swaps via Bolts. LDK version 0.0.123 Bolt 12 dust sweeping has been integrated. BDK version 1.0.0 alpha.10 has been released with improved address APIs, simplified Explorer API.
Since he wrote it in caps, I feel like we should make this clear. The most important part of the firmware release for the cold cards is that the code bases, the firmwares are now combined.
You obviously weren't paying attention.
Oh, well, he said in caps, so I paid attention to his caps.
Both of you weren't paying attention. This is really
Well, you just like said it in the title, like in the beginning, right? You just like read the title, shared code base.
No, and I confirmed it's like shared code base or combined code bases now.
But I think what's kind of confusing, and I roasted him on his podcast about it, is they don't have shared release notes, which is, you think same code base, same release notes. I mean, he had a good answer. They have, you know, slightly different hardware in terms of screens and that QR code scanner, but still.
Yeah.
Be aware. I feel like it should just be one set of bullet points.
Be aware. Be aware.
Sorry, I cut you off. What are we on, BDK?
No, we're way past BDK.
Really? I don't think so. Did you say BDK?
I did say BDK. You're just like not listening. I know you got things you got to do after this, but like I'd appreciate it. So,
did you say LDK?
I did say LDK. Now we're on the Zeus version 0.8.4. That's been released with Select Wallet and Node on startup. Bitcoin Keeper version 1.2.6 has been released with Canary Wallets to detect unauthorized key usage. Embassy, this is cool to see. Super Testnet is back in Austin and pushing code. Embassy allows you to construct CoinJoin transactions without a coordinator.
I don't think that says Embassy.
MSB. MSB.
It's a play on MSB.
Yeah, it's a terrible name, Super.
It's also like, I love Super, but like also this, and it's cool that it uses Noster, but like this, I also feel like can feel like the Bitcoin community loves doing, you know, mission accomplished George Bush on an aircraft carrier. this is a alpha proposal. I wouldn't even call it a beta proposal. But good to see new thoughts on the subject.
Yes.
He's like, I was like reading through the Stacker News stuff and it seemed like he didn't look at any of the existing CoinJoin protocols before he put this together. He was like learning about them in the comments. So be aware, but good to see new ideas.
Be aware.
I like the idea of Noster as just a interoperable communication protocol.
It's pretty beautiful. What else is beautiful? Blockstream Green desktop versions 2.0.5 has been released with add single sig watch only wallets and more. That's all we got for software updates this week. Should we do our announcement or should we save that for the end?
Yeah, let's do our announcement since PubKey just like completely shot it off in the live chat. Did you see that?
In the live chat?
In our own show, in the Zab stream chat.
Motherfuckers, this is our job to announce it.
Should we cancel it,
Daniel? Not disgusting, Daniel. You're fucking. We're having a hostile takeover.
You don't have Bitcoin enabled yet. You don't have Bitcoin enabled yet. God,
don't. No date in the checkout. This is typical PubKey production.
Kind of offensive. But anyway, we previously teased you guys. God, we previously teased you guys with we are going to be doing our largest live show to date that is not part of a conference during Nashville Bitcoin Week.
They literally don't have the day in here. They just have doors open at 3.
We have our own venue.
At 3 today.
We have our own venue. There's 500 tickets. It's going to be 3 hours of fucking awesome content with Ride or Die Freaks, and we hope anyone who's going to be in Nashville comes and joins us. Marty, what is the date?
It's July 25th.
pubkey.bar/rhr. Apparently they do not have Bitcoin accepting yet, but we will. It uses AppRite, so that should be the easiest thing to implement, Dan. It's going to be a great time.
It's gonna be great.
Do you have anything to add?
I'm excited.
I'm very excited. We're going to have more details are going to come out. As you can tell, it was a little bit rushed to get it out for today's RHR. So if you want to pay in Bitcoin, which you should, just keep refreshing the page. Dan will have it up by the end of the day. He'll have Bitcoin payments up.
This is the first time we're doing it outside of the conference in parallel. Yeah,
control our own destiny, you know, and,
we're creating our own main stage, okay?
We can no longer
relegated to the outdoor heat of Miami. Kevin O'Leary is on the main stage.
Last year we were the beautiful open source stage. It was amazing stage. I was grateful for it. I thought it was a good stage.
We're gonna have our own stage,
but this time we control the entire experience, and the pub key guys are helping us with the atmosphere and many other things. We're gonna have rotating guests, great fucking guests.
We're gonna have a band. Logan's gonna be there in a tuxedo.
It'll be a lot of fun. Food, drink, you name it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and we will have live donations. If we get over 50 million sats, we will do the rest of the show with our shirts off.
No.
No.
That will not happen.
Sneak that one in there. Okay.
Check I can't believe they just ninja'd it without Bitcoin payments.
And without a date. I mean, I think the date might be more important. I think people...
Is there really no date?
There's no date.
What Doors the open. Fuck?
Doors open at 3. That's. I mean, this is... Business on air. Great, great. Great example of business on air.
Doors open at 3 p.m. It does not say the date. Okay.
It's July 25th.
July 25th. It's the Thursday. It's the Thursday of that week.
It's going to be worth it. It's going to be the hottest ticket in town. It's the hot style takeover.
It'll definitely be a lot of fun.
Celebrity guest. Food. It's going to be fun. Can't wait to see you guys there. With that, back to the list. Swan disclosed they have a mining partnership with Tether, which was speculated on this show months ago. Matt, do you want to take this one?
I don't know. Do you have any comments, Marty?
I actually didn't read the whole thing. It was very long, but from what I understand, Swan announced they are doing managed mining services now. And so if there's any high net worth individuals or institutions that want to leverage this managed mining service in collaboration with Tether, they're targeting 100 exahash by 2026. And so if you have anybody who's looking to allocate $100 million slugs or more into the Bitcoin mining ecosystem, Swan is providing managed mining services. If you're looking to get into the mining game, got nine figures sitting around.
Something else, Marty. Let me just do like a timeline. Let me do a timeline of events. How about that?
Let's do a timeline.
Okay, so in the fall, what was it, like October, November, Swan released a press release and said, you know, we have an insane amount of revenue and we're on pace to even bigger amount of revenue. And at this point, they hadn't announced mining. They did not say they were getting into mining. They've historically been a Bitcoin financial services business, not a Bitcoin mining business. They had never announced mining at that point. I reached out to Swan leadership. I said, these numbers don't add up. They don't make any sense. A lot of us are asking questions about it. They refused to give any kind of color or context onto where they were pulling those numbers from. This went on for a couple months. Like, people were talking privately behind the scenes about it all the time. No one could figure out how those numbers added up based on the numbers of the other Bitcoin financial services businesses around the world. At the same time, Swan leadership in like Telegram channels and stuff were taking, you know, small investments from random Bitcoiners, you know, like $50,000 investments and stuff in Telegram chats. And it just, the whole thing just seemed like some questions needed to be answered. So I brought those questions to the public on Rabbit Hole Recap sometime in January. The response was essentially to attack my character and say I didn't understand complicated financial products. And then they followed up with a press release saying that they are now mining and they have a, you know, massive mining operation, you know, like 20x Ocean's hash rate or something. Since then, yesterday, I guess, we found out that the majority of their mining operation seems to be Tether gave them money to run a hosted mining operation for them. So if we go back to the beginning, Swan released a press release back in early fall where I guess all the money that Swan, that Tether put into ASICs, they clocked as revenue, even though they're presumably only taking a small fee off of that, while they were soliciting investments. To me, you know, questions should be asked, and I'm glad I asked those questions. And I'm sure the response to me saying anything on RHR about this is going to be met with, you know, some kind of personal character attacks. And I'm sure that no one else who has any issues will say anything because a lot of people can be bought and paid for relatively cheaply in this space, and it's a shame. But I'm glad that they disclosed their partnership with Tether. I think it makes a lot of this much more clear, and I think it's better for everyone that it's out in the open.
To be clear, my price tag's significantly high. If you're going to buy me out, we're going to need a lot of Bitcoin. That's out there. Mining, tough game. We think difficulty is 10% higher or lower than it is today at the end of the summer.
Higher.
Interesting.
I think I'm like, that shit is like, it's just designed to pump forever. It's insane.
No,
hash rate, man. Never go short hash rate.
You have seasonality coming in.
Yeah, but just summer. pull the all-time hash rate. Yeah, maybe, you know, in a short time frame. But like also, like, you can never recoup mining costs in that short time frame, so you're always making a long-term bet.
Yeah. Yeah. Staying on that Tether tip, Tether announced earlier this week that they have a tight partnership with Chainalysis to enhance compliance measures. Tether from the pirates to Chainalysis customers. I mean, it's the natural progression of how these things go. If you get success, you'll be forced to comply one way or another. Tether, it's obviously tightly connected to the U.S. Treasury markets now, and so one would imagine they have to comply very hard. Stacking a lot of Bitcoin too.
I have no comment.
Key components of the solution encompass a comprehensive suite. God, I was reading it from the thing and Logan scrolled by. A suite of monitoring analysis tools. These include sanctions monitoring, which provides a detailed list of addresses and transactions involving sanctioned entities, as well as categorization, which enables a thorough breakdown of USDT holders by type, including exchanges and darknet markets. It also offers a largest wallet analysis, providing an in-depth examination of significant USDT holders and their activities, and an illicit transfers detector, which is integral to identifying transactions potentially associated with illicit categories like terrorist financing. Let's not forget, Chainalysis is currently being used to throw Roman Sterlingov in jail. Their testimony and their black box results trying to say that Roman was the owner of Bitcoin Fog, and they're claiming to prove that via their chain analysis tools, very dubious. So again, is this data reliable? Who knows? Is this analysis reliable?
Anything else you want to talk about before we wrap?
I didn't get to use it, but wait.
Thanks, Logan. if you're listening to the audio, he's using his flashy new not lawyers disclaimer. We are not lawyers here at Rabbit Hole Recap.
Not a lawyer. Never took one law class.
You did good, Logan. That was homework. We did tell you. I forgot we asked for that last week.
One thing I will add while we wrap up here, we had BTC++ in Austin last week, and the chatter post-conference is that the developers are coming to consensus on potential avenues forward, particularly for getting covenants implemented and integrated into the Bitcoin protocol. Apparently, Rusty Russell, Christian Decker gave great presentations, and so expect soft fork talk to heat up and covenants talk to heat up, not imbuing any favor one way or the other terms, but apparently the talk to the devs, Ben the Carmen said it was a very high signal, and it feels like the PTSD that emanated from the block size wars has settled down, and developers are really talking seriously about getting covenants implemented in the Bitcoin.
Okay. Love okay. Bitcoin plus plus. I mean, do you think covenants are going to happen?
Again, I'm not gonna.
That's why I just said laughed and said okay. I think Bitcoin plus plus is awesome. I think Nifty's a legend. We need to protect her at all costs. I think Base 58, her education program that runs alongside Bitcoin plus plus, is fantastic. Training new open source contributors. I think those events are some of the best that we see in Bitcoin. To answer Jeff Ross's question, July 25th, it's 3 hours.
Comedian Jeff Ross is in the comments. Let's go.
Bitcoin Jeff Ross is in the comments. It's not a conference. It's a 3 hour live event, live Rabbit Hole Recap with rotating guests. It is not at Bitcoin Park because Bitcoin Park has a max capacity of like 200 to 250 people. So we went and secured a 600 person venue. So all the ride or dies can come and we can keep ticket prices low and accessibility high. And the vibes will be great.
And we just got...
you can go to pubkey.bar/RHR for hopefully more info.
We just got notification that Lightning payments have been enabled.
Really? You couldn't just wait until it was enabled? We had to have that whole, you know, iron sharpens iron, I guess.
I think the date... Did we have the date yet? Did we get the date in there?
Is the date on there too? Pubkey.bar/RHR.
No date. July 25th is the date.
There's regular tickets and then there's VIP tickets.
It's there.
Tickets, the doors open earlier. They open an hour earlier.
And I've just been notified that we've sold 3 VIP tickets already. So
let's fucking go. Thank you. And obviously we appreciate your support and we look forward to having a great time.
Yeah. Think we'll talk about Bitcoin at all?
We're definitely going to be talking about Bitcoin.
What if we just completely changed the structure of the show? We became a sports.
No.
NFL season starts a few weeks after the hot style takeover.
I refuse. I'll just respond back. No comment every time. No comment. I have to say no comment more. Other people should say shit. I'm like.
You're going to become a no comment guy?
I might just become a. And then he can just give me the not a lawyer. I'll just do no comment. Maybe, can you make me a no comment? No comment graphic. That'd be great, Marty. This was fucking awesome. You have anything else you want to talk about, or should we wrap? RHR next week, 1 p.m. Is 1 p.m. Thursday? Is what we're gonna do?
Yeah. Shout out to all the mothers out there.
UTC. Oh yeah, happy Mother's Day.
We're celebrating Mother's Day here in the United States this Sunday. Very thankful for my wife, my mother, my grandmother, my mother-in-law, sister-in-law, the great mothers in my life, cousins, aunts. Shout out to all of you.
Love you, freaks. Live life with integrity. Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love.